As a business owner, it's important to keep your business connected. Spectrum Business is committed to keeping your business online whenever and wherever you need us, all backed by the Spectrum Commitment. Get fast, reliable internet starting at $40 per month when bundled, or level up your internet speed and get a 3-year price guarantee. Learn how Spectrum Business can help your business stay connected at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today.
And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
With the draft, I'm going to give the opportunity for Ian to come up and talk about our preparation. Feel really confident where we're at. I think this one's going to be a little wild.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score.
Looking for adventure.
Very exciting.
Born to be wild. Brandon Fryer on top of his game this morning. It's draft day. Yes.
How do you feel about Walter Nolan?
I think that's a name you hear not as frequently as some others. I think that's a guy who, if the Bears were to trade back, they would be in play for. 10 seems a little high.
Okay.
If that's my honest reaction to the name that you pose.
I just mentioned him because he apparently said, and I know it's a couple months ago now, that he believes he's the next Aaron Donald.
Well, if he's the next Aaron Donald, then 10's not too high.
I would love to see them get the
you
next
hear a
Aaron
lot of
Donald.
Stuff like that.
But he was like Here's the number one player in his class. I'm just saying.
I love the confidence. I want to hear an evaluator call him the next Aaron Donald.
Okay, that's fair.
Then if I hear that from somebody like, I don't know, somebody who does it for a living rather than a young
player.
Man expressing confidence in his ability and potential. But you hear a lot of stuff. So Ryan Pohl says it's going to get wild and it could be crazy. Could be some trades. There have been none yet. But there
not one.
There are reports out there. Ben Devine is out there on Twitter. Calls himself a Bears insider and said that the Bears, for instance, this is an example of what you're dealing with today. There's going to be a lot to sift through, such as a trade agreement is in place with the Bears. Doesn't name a team, but a tentative deal was hammered out yesterday afternoon without any sort of detail. So
we don't know the team, and we don't know the detail.
But there is something that's hammered out.
They're making a trade.
They're making a trade. It piques your interest and curiosity. That's what today is all about. Today is about getting – the NFL has done a tremendous job of packaging hope and presenting it as something that is going to capture your imagination for 3 days now. I think they could do it longer. But I think they're going to just stop.
You want to do it for the week. You're on record.
Oh, yes, I'm on record for that. And when it happens, I'll remind you that I thought that it was a great idea. Monday night is your welcome to the draft week process. It's media day. All the talking heads, all the things. It's like a Super Bowl media day.
Yeah.
Then Tuesday, first round. Wednesday, second round. Thursday, third round. Friday, rounds 4 through 7. Prime time. Alternate the networks, put it up for bid, make a fortune. Make a fortune, NFL.
Have you watched
much
of the NFL Network or listened to any of the NFL Network? Because they've been for the week in Green Bay. And the players are sitting around and they've got guy after guy
speculating.
It's just
on 3 days of condensed coverage. Why not spread that out? Yeah. They're there anyway.
I know.
Green Bay is throwing a party anyway. they've already opened the doors to Lambeau anyway. So
Green Bay.
Well, okay, this year it's Green Bay. Next year, what if it were in Vegas? You'd be all over that.
Oh, let's go.
Let's go. See?
I'm ready to go.
Let's go.
But that's...
Or Seattle, your city. What if it were in Seattle?
I love Seattle.
Wouldn't you love to spend a week, draft week in Seattle?
I've had a lot of fun in Seattle. A
lot of possibilities there. But, a lot of money to be made.
But I haven't had a lot of fun in Green Bay. Have you? Have you enjoyed your trip?
I don't mind Green Bay as much as some people mind Green Bay. I think if you're a Bears fan, you probably have not had very much fun there lately.
I've had a lot of fun in Milwaukee. If that counts,
okay,
it's not
count.
An anti-Wisconsin thing.
I had too much fun in Green Bay.
Oh, you went to school in Green Bay at one point.
2.5 years, first of five.
And having too much fun led to him not going to school in Green Bay.
2.5 years, the first of five.
Oh, that's a fun story.
You are something special.
So a couple things that I think are interesting to consider as we get ready to anticipate and start to watch tonight and what the Bears are going to do. Are you convinced that they're going to get what would be, or how convinced and how confident are you that they're going to draft a Pro Bowl caliber player? That we use that term a lot. I like to use that term. Pro Bowl caliber player, an all-pro caliber player with the 10th overall pick. What's your level of confidence? Why are you laughing?
It's like asking me, hey, is this,
why are you laughing?
Is this, you think that Poles can get hit by lightning?
No.
That's what you just asked
me. No, I didn't. No, there's a better chance of getting a Pro Bowl caliber pick with a 10th selection in the NFL draft than Poles getting struck by lightning or anybody struck by lightning.
Have you watched the – how many Pro Bowl players has he drafted to this point?
That's a very good question. I need to do that research. I can tell you this.
I will tell you the answer. None.
None?
They have yet to draft a Pro Bowl player. In this current administration.
3 years, draft
They've
number
had
four.
Three drafts. This will be their fourth.
Yes. I don't consider this, as I said yesterday, I believe, I don't consider this Ryan Poles' fourth draft as much as I consider it Ben Johnson's first.
Yeah, that's fair.
I want this to be Ben Johnson's first
draft
and the imprint to be obvious and the influence to be apparent because I think it needs to be.
My question is the goal to get a Pro Bowl player?
Yes.
Well, then they can trade up and get a Pro Bowl player.
Then you need to do that. So
you take out your little piece of paper and run it over to the Hallis Hall.
Ashton Genty, no matter what. I'm going to put that back in my pocket, and I'm going to carry around the rest of the day. And I'm going to be in my pocket when I'm watching draft day this afternoon, after lunch.
I'm going to write down Ashton Genty if he's there.
See, I like that. That'd probably be better.
Just because they don't really.
I know, but it's a symmetry with it no matter what.
I like it.
Over at Chicago Sports Network, there's a producer does a great job. All the producers do great jobs. But Zach Badgerhouse did some research.
Is he from Wisconsin? Did he go there?
No, he did not.
Did he live in the Badger House?
I think he went to Central Michigan, actually.
Oh, okay.
He's a Mac guy. So you know I'm partial to Mac football guys.
Right.
All right. Since 2010, of all the top 10 picks that have been selected by NFL teams, only 46% have either made the Pro Bowl or been named All-Pro.
Yeah.
That, to me, was lower than I anticipated. That, to me, underscored how you need to be cautious in your optimism, perhaps.
Mm.
Does it say that to you? Because I think that I assumed, and I think that you want to believe, that if you pick a top 10, if you make a top 10 selection, you want that player to be special. I said you want that player to be able to envision him starting a Super Bowl for you. I think you want to, by the same token, think that that's a Pro Bowl caliber player.
This is a thing that I saw that I find is interesting. Only one interior defensive lineman from a non-power school is projected to be selected in the 2025 NFL draft. That would be Darius Alexander from Toledo.
Oof.
And... It's really interesting because the idea of this is that apparently NFL, the feeling is that college schools do a pretty good job, given now the NIL and everything going on. They evaluate high school talent and the smaller college talent, and they get those guys into the biggest conferences. So that is chipping away at the idea that you can find various players within the draft that aren't from the big time schools and the big time conferences. It is damaging them that if a player somehow survives and lasts at a school from the MAC, for instance, that means he wasn't deemed good enough to play in whether it be the SEC or the Big Ten or wherever.
First thing that comes to mind is that Khalil Mack would never have been drafted where he was out of Buffalo.
Exactly.
Had he been more in the NIL transfer portal era.
He'd have been moved.
He'd have been moved. He'd have transferred from Buffalo to Georgia or Texas A&M.
Alabama or wherever. Yep.
And then he would have been. That's a really interesting point. And I also think that it reminds us to, you know, let's face it, the most talked about prospect in this draft as it pertains to the Bears is Ashton Jeanty.
Yes.
And he comes from a school that you just described, the type of school you just described. You wonder about Ashton Jeanty. We'll talk to Clay Harbor, who's in studio for the entire 9 o'clock hour. But whether or not the numbers that he's put up against a Boise State schedule are numbers that you respect. And is what he put on tape, is that a running back that you think can run through tackles at the NFL level the way he did in the Mountain West Conference?
And we both know people who wonder about that.
That's the biggest question about Ashton Jeanty. That and his speed.
Yeah, well, that and his speed, because we don't know how explosive he is because he hasn't run time speed yet. I doubt he did because it's over now. I don't think he's going to go out in the parking lot.
No.
Just before we're trading up, but we're going to need a 40 time. No, that's not going to happen. But David, you know, the man is like 5'8" plus, right? He's listed at 5'9", but he's probably 5'8" and some. He can dunk a basketball. So
tremendous athlete.
It's an unbelievable
athlete.
A
lot of confidence.
And that takes a lot. That takes a lot of explosion to be able to do something like that. And his numbers after being hit are extraordinary. But when you think about this idea that you know, schools nowadays are evaluating guys out of high school and then evaluating them when they get into smaller schools or junior colleges or wherever, and that the best players are playing in the best conferences, it's making the job of the NFL easier, but it's making it more difficult to find players like Jeanty.
There are not many diamonds in the rough.
There aren't.
They're already polished.
They're
polished by the Power 4 or Power 5 schools.
That's right.
You're right. They're picked over.
Yep.
And when you look at the schedule, and hey, look, you know I'm an Ashton Jeanty guy, and if they draft him however they get to him, I'm probably going to be a little bit excited tomorrow morning. But I also know what shows up on tape, and I know the difference between playing San Jose State and Wyoming and UNLV is much different than going against Clemson, Georgia, and Alabama on a regular basis. And I do think that it's a worthy conversation to have whether or not Ashton Jeanty could have been as dominant as he was if he were playing in the SEC.
And these were conversations that were had months ago, right? They've been talking about this. This is not a new conversation. I'm just bringing it. I'm just mentioning it because
tonight.
It's interesting. Yes.
And it's most pertinent tonight because he is, along with Shedeur Sanders, they're the two most compelling figures in the first round of this draft.
For different reasons,
certainly. But I think that where they go will dictate the course of so many other teams that what makes them the most interesting. But Shedeur Sanders, obviously, there's a lot of different conversations surrounding his status tonight. Ashton Jeanty, for many different reasons. I think almost Ashton Jeanty's have more to do with football. Shedeur Sanders have to do maybe more with things unrelated to football, which aren't necessarily fair, but they are real.
Well, I mean, if you watch tape of Shedeur Sanders, you watch enough of it, you see he gets sacked a lot outside the pocket because his signature move, he does this like shoulder roll turn and he goes kind of back against the grain and then he gets sacked. He doesn't have the kind of athleticism to break away.
He's not as great of an athlete as you might think.
No, you would imagine he's a much better athlete. He also doesn't just take what looks like yards in front of him and kind of run a conventional escape. He tries this weird hook move that seems to get him in trouble every time he does it. It's
yes.
weird to watch.
And yet, I think that can be coached out of him.
I hope so.
And I think that he can be a very successful, more traditional NFL quarterback.
He's more of a pocket passer.
He is. But I also think that savvy and experience, you get past all of the hype and a lot of the flash, and I think you have a very competent potential NFL quarterback who could be a starter in this league. I see him going probably 21 to the Steelers tonight. If the Saints don't surprise everyone and take him 9, if the Giants don't shock the world and take him 3rd.
They're not going to take him.
I don't think so.
No.
I could see them maybe moving back into the first round near the end to maybe select him. But again, I just named 3 different spots in the first round, which would affect how the rest of the first round goes because he would be the 2nd quarterback taken.
312-644-6767. Shad is on the south side. Hey, Shad.
What's going on today, fellas? Happy Bears draft day, man.
It's
look, I know the other day we had a conversation and I kind of touched on I want us to have a policeman in the front 7, somebody that's going to completely bust up the game in the NFC North going forward. And honestly, since Roquan's been gone, that's why I've been targeted for this particular draft. Now, I want to stick back to Mully's point of reference, okay? Trades. This is my whole point. This is the biggest draft under Ryan Pace. Can't call it Ben Johnson's first. This is Ryan Poles, 4th draft. He needs to nail a star. He needs to nail a star. And in a draft where you don't have anyone else jumping up for quarterbacks, this is a perfect opportunity to use probably not as many assets as you think, David, to go get that chipper. And the reason I say that is because then that changes the entire complexity of the balance of this team. The pressure of that offense having to click year one will be completely gone if you get that blue chipper on the defensive front. I wouldn't even mind if they traded with the Niners, getting George Kittle, moving back 4 spots, and you get your tight end, and you still pick up assets.
Whoa, Shad. I love your creativity, and we appreciate your loyalty. Why would the 49ers trade George Kittle?
Extension contract.
They're having a problem getting signed.
With everything else.
You think he's on the block?
No, I think he's not in camp, and they're having a problem getting him signed. I don't believe they're going to do that. Here's the problem, Shad, is like, you know, I would like the Bears to go ahead. I love George Kittle, and he's a Bears fan, and we know all that. Grew up in Iowa. I do think, though, that the Bears need to get good young players whose timeline fits the group. The quarterback, the wide receiver, you know, the guys they drafted, and the head coach coming in, and all of them growing in the same way. I don't believe that they need to add George Kittle in order to make this thing. Again, if you were closer to a Super Bowl and you felt like leader in the room would change, I don't believe that is the case right
now. I love the idea. I love this day for those ideas.
Yeah.
For that kind of possibility.
Take young players.
Take young players you're going to grow with.
And you're
by the time you're good
with,
enough to give to return George Kittle to a Super Bowl, so we can see that on the next Netflix special. The Bears aren't. He's going to be too old. They're not one player away from a Super Bowl. They're maybe 2 or 3 years away from competing for one.
But if they get 3 starters out of this group and they all of a sudden are making noise together,
yeah.
Now you got something.
That's what you're
going.
Looking for.
That's what you want.
That's what you're looking for. That's why I want them to hold on to the 2 second round picks specifically.
I totally agree with
you. If you want to trade the 71st overall pick and it allows you to move up 2 or 3 spots, if the price is that affordable, then I think maybe you consider it more so than you would. I don't like giving away 2 second round picks who are guys who could be starters on the team that you envision competing for a Super Bowl. Shad, terrific creativity. George Kittle is a name to keep an eye on. The Bear connection is obvious.
Yep.
Where do you think Kirk Cousins goes tonight?
I mean, if he goes anywhere, he probably goes back to Minnesota.
Doesn't he have to get traded tonight?
I don't know what the exact details of the contract are, but I think that, you know, that he's eating up a lot of money.
How about Pittsburgh?
I don't know. Well, I would rather him there than, I guess,
Rodgers?
They
need something at quarterback.
Well, they need
either
clarity.
Trade for one, sign Rodgers.
Who's their quarterback right now? Mason Graham?
Mason Rudolph.
Mason Rudolph. Good God. Mason Graham is the kid from Michigan. He could probably play quarterback.
He's the guy that the Bears might be most likely to trade up to draft.
I'd love if that happened. I would love that. That would be a great, because I think that guy's going to play for a long time. Mason Rudolph is your starter?
Yes, now.
That's nuts.
That's why Shedeur Sanders is in play. That's why the Kirk Cousins rumors exist. And that's why Aaron Rodgers has them on hold and everybody unhappy in Pittsburgh.
Doesn't it seem increasingly like Aaron Rodgers is retiring?
Yeah.
He doesn't have very many places to go. And I don't know anybody who wants to put up with it.
I hear you.
Just the whole dog and pony show. All right, 312-644-6767 is the telephone number. We're going to bring in our guy, Bruce Levine. We're going to talk to him about where the Cubs are at, what it means, how well they've played. Want to know if he thinks that that PCA has another level he can hit. Would that be all-star level? Would that be MVP level? How good is this kid playing? And maybe we'll ask him a couple questions about the Rule 5 thing. That's a good thing to talk about because Sox need as many Rule 5 players they can get. Mully and Haw on the Score.
The whole ballpark is buzzing. The pitch, swing, and a miss. Strike three. Three straight breaking balls. Ohtani is out number two. That's waiting. The pitch, fly ball to center. This should do it. Grover Armstrong is there. Cubs win the ball game.
It's just fun watching you guys on the bench. Talk about going through Barnes, then Ohtani, and then Betts. Not the easiest guys in the world.
Yeah, but at the end of the day, you just got to go pitch by pitch, so you can't read as much into it.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score. That was Porter Hodge in the post game with our guy, Bruce Levine. And Bruce joins us now on the Aturo Tire Hotline. Aturo, your hometown tire, aturo.com. Bruce, good morning. How are you, buddy?
Good morning. Where do I get World Series tickets?
Yeah, that is what we're all wondering. Do they strip the Dodgers of that award now that the Cubs have won the World Series, or do they just wait and then play it come the Fall Classic?
I think we should just go straight to the NLCS and just take over from there. It's it was great theater so far this week with Arizona and the Dodgers being in town, and it's been unbelievable crowd reaction even for Wrigley Field, which is almost always electric. It's been beyond that lately. For anybody that's been there, they've, certainly the players have noticed. I remember just standing there two nights ago when they beat the Dodgers the first time, getting an interview after the game, and just standing there, and three or four of the players were just standing there probably 5-7 minutes still after the game, just watching the crowd go nuts, not wanting to leave. And, you see it a lot, but it's usually September. It's not April that you're seeing that type of reaction.
Yes, the Cubs are 16-10. And I think that I understand why there's so much excitement, because Bruce, the number through 26 games, the 163 runs is the second most in franchise history. They're 16-10, but I need to remind you and tell me the difference. Last year they were 17-9. Did we feel this excited about that team then?
Schedule.
No. No, you didn't. There was not the electricity going on with the teams that they were playing, okay? Mm-hmm. So I think Council cautioned everybody about what it was like last year. The difference between the two was, if we were going to September and seeing if the Cubs had a chance and they were doing, the countdown to the playoffs, every single team that was involved in the playoffs that the Cubs had played had a better record than the Cubs, okay? So in this instance, 7 games and they beat the Dodgers 4 out of 7 doesn't mean anything right now in April, okay? It might in September. It might in for sure in October when you're matching up and you have that extra home game. So, again, we're getting way ahead of ourselves, but the reality that they played outstanding baseball against really good teams shouldn't be missed. It's the difference between last year and this year in April.
Bruce, are your sources saying anything about the popularity of PCA in Japan? Is he now considered the better player now that Ohtani's a bum?
He's really popular there. And, you know, what he talked about the most when he came back from Japan was how he was, you know, treated by the people there, how he was so excited about getting some of the clothing lines there, the streetwear, the popular dress code for there. He was in on all of that. And it was, you know, it's fun to watch another culture actually embracing PCA for just a short visit there. But, you know, the electricity that this guy provides is just, you know, it's hard to compare. You know, what athlete is it? Javier Baez, the last Cup player that created that kind of
It's a great comp.
That's it.
Yeah, it's a great comp. Bruce, I think it's the fun point of the Cubs in terms of this season that we quibble over everything because you want them and you see them being championship caliber, winning a division and making noise in October. In that vein, what's going on at third base? Because now Nicky Lopez becomes the fifth guy or the sixth guy to get a look there. Is he here just to shore up the defense? What do you anticipate in the way of a platoon? And what happened to Gage Workman?
Well, Workman was never ready. You know, he won a job in spring training. How often do we talk from spring training and caution people, hey, this guy's playing great. He's hitting over 400. Left-handed hitter with power. You know, he used to be a switch hitter. He changed. Can play three or four different positions. Yeah, how well is he going to play those three or four positions when he goes into a major league game? How about going up against a major league breaking ball in the season as compared to, you know, a fourth or fifth pitcher in a spring training game? Those are the differences. And Workman can still be a good ball player, but for a team that wants to win and be successful all season long, you know, he was just not going to be the 25th and 26th player. And it was really nice to see, you know, Turner yesterday walk and get a hit, you know, little increments of showing that he's going to be able to help this team out. Certainly, he's been a big voice on the bench. Everybody's turned to him, having his, you know, experience and the idea that he's going to be there with big hits during the year. It hasn't been there yet, so he's got to get going. Last night was a good indication for him to, you know, step it up, and he did just a little bit.
But Nicky?
Nicky is there for defense, period, right? Isn't that – I mean, what we learned is Workman – and I feel bad for him, Bruce, and I've got questions about him, but basically – the Cubs are too good for a Rule 5 player. It is really hard for a Rule 5 player to make a team. It would be great. He would be great on the South Side. Can they just claim him now and take him because otherwise he gets sent back to Detroit? Wouldn't that make sense for a team that can't seem to hit? And you know, a guy with a team with a third baseman who can't seem to hit? Why not go ahead and take Workman and move him to the South Side? Wouldn't that make
It's a great call, and they're probably second in line, goes reverse as far as record goes,
right,
from the other league, and they might be first or second, depending, you know, Colorado is right there, but again, it would be Colorado, then probably the White Sox with the worst record, and he'd look really good there, developing like the rest of them have to at this point in time. I would just say that, you know, I asked counsel before the game about how realistic it would be to go out there and get a guy like McMahon with Colorado, or, you know, I didn't mention the name because they can't talk about individual players, but that's who I'm thinking of, you know, some professional guy that's not going to cost him an arm and a leg in a trade. And, you know, they said, you know, realistically, we still think Shaw is our third baseman. And when he gets enough reps down there and he starts to change some of the things in his swing and gets enough playing time, I don't know how many games he had at AAA, but there weren't that many last year.
They're changing his swing, right? Isn't that it, Bruce? I mean, it seems fairly obvious.
Well, they're cautious about changing every mechanic for the guy, right? I mean, there's a lot of unconventional things that Shaw does. They don't want to, you know, rework everything to the point where he's confused when he goes up there. But, you know, the leg kick is something that they have to straighten out.
The toe point is a little unorthodox as well.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, the whole thing is a little unorthodox, but
we
they didn't mess
three
with it.
Things with it.
I know, it's okay. That's all. It's a long list. Bruce, I ask you this. After the game, we learned something that I think sounded a little bit more troubling than maybe Craig Counsell made it appear. Ryan Pressly had his knee drained, and he's going to be just fine. Nothing to see here.
He's going
to
pitch Friday.
What do you think?
Well, that's what they said. It was the first that we heard about that, and there was another injury to talk about, too, and that, you know, that's with Suzuki. Yeah, it injured his wrist about a week ago, missed three or four games, and now re-aggravated it two nights ago, and we don't know how long that's going to be. So these things are going to happen. Everybody loses players. The Cubs seem well fortified. I mean, Hodge went in there and stood tall. The only time he's failed this year is when he gave up a slam on one pitch. But, you know, the reality is that they're going to keep looking for more bullpen help along the way. That's what Hoyer said to a group of us reporters 2 days ago, that, you know, that's every day they're looking for more bullpen guys, and you get Drew Pomerantz as one of them who hasn't pitched in the major leagues in 4.5 years coming up, a left-hander that they made a trade for with Seattle the other day. And they're going to continue to do things like that.
Hmm. Great stuff, Bruce. Always fun to talk about it. It's been really fun to watch.
You did a great
team.
Job last night too, Bruce.
Yes.
Every night.
Go Bears.
Go Bears. Big draft.
You got a pick tonight, Bruce? Quickly?
Who are you taking?
Who are you taking?
I think I'm taking the Royals over the Tigers tonight. Oh, in the NFL. Oh. Have a great day,
you're
guys.
The best, Bruce. That is our guy, Bruce Levine. That's hysterical. We'll be right back. We got Mike Palm joining us next. It's Mully and Haw on The Score.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, proudly presents the star of our show,
Mike Palm, Vice President of Operations of Circa, the D, and Golden Gate.
Vegas!
Vegas, baby! Vegas!
Twitter at Mike Palm Circa.
Why don't I take you somewhere that you've never been?
Where's that?
Vegas?
Let's head to Vegas with Mike Palm, sponsored by Circa Sports Illinois. Sports betting the way it should be, with Mully and Haw on 670 The Score.
Remember, what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas.
I don't care if the sun will
Mully shine. And Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Oh, the delight of having a friend in the desert. Nothing like getting a chance to talk to our buddy Mike Palm, and he joins us now on the Aturo Tire Hotline. Aturo, your hometown tire, Aturo.com. Happy draft day, Mike. You must be pumped up.
Well, it's a great spectacle. We'll have a full house in the book and at Stadium Swim, and we're just glad to get it over with as bookmakers. And you know, it's nice because Nevada law requires us to take it down 24 hours in advance, so we do that in all the states. We know all our positions heading into it, so we can have a sweat with no uncertainty.
What's the most popular bet as it pertains to the NFL draft? What has been the most likely bet to be placed?
So for us this year, guys, we decided to just put up 21 players and their draft position, and then move the number of the juice as the money dictated. No other props. I would say over the years in general, the most popular bet is always number of quarterbacks taken in the first round. We didn't offer it that this year. It's pretty interesting because this year was 2.5 across the board, and the juice went up and down. And you know, there's even some debate. Well, who are the three? If it's going to be three, it's interesting. But people like to delve into the quarterback market. As far as what we posted this year, the player that took the most action is actually Ashton Jeanty. Remember 2 months ago, he was like the favorite to go to the Bears,
right?
For places that listed the team prop at 10. I mean, we opened him at 6.5, favored to go later than that, over 6.5, -150, +130 on the under. And like the under, we didn't move the position, And I know there's, you know, some books moved it to 5.5, some even 4.5. We kept it at 6.5, but the under closed at like minus 4.5. So -450. So yeah, that's an interesting one for us, because if he goes seventh or later, that's a good score for us. If he goes six or earlier, we lose to that one. But he was the most on any one player amount of money wagered.
It's really curious, because I think, you know, it's hard to figure out. Various people have different ideas of who the real blue chippers are in this draft. There's always going to be a few, but it could be three. Are there six? I don't know that it goes much beyond that. Seven tops?
Well, this is I mean, like surefire players, I think it's under that.
Yeah.
And, you know, I predicted that our draft handle would be down for a few reasons, because we didn't do other props, but also because of the uncertainty of this draft will cause actually less action. You know, in a game, a football game, a basketball game, whatever, the closer the number is, like in football, if it's three, you know, those make for more action. But in the draft, the more uncertainty there is, it makes for less action. And when we went back and looked, we actually wrote less than half of what we did last year. People aren't willing to lay juice and prices when there's this much uncertainty. And maybe the uncertainty is because of the lack of depth in this draft, as you alluded to.
So what has the Cubs' quick start, promising start against the teams they have beaten, done to interest in their futures in terms of betting?
Yeah, I mean, for the division, let's remember they were -$1.25 heading into the season, and then they lose the two games in Japan, and they came back to even money, which was, I said, was a great opportunity to bet them at even money.
Right.
And now you look at it, they're a pretty prohibitive favorite in the Central now. Up to one, I saw even one place list them as -170. I think we're at -155 now. I mean, the offense has been terrific. Obviously, there's some concerns with pitching injuries and the bullpen at this time. But I, you know, the way they've hit the ball, not just what Tucker's done, but what he does help the other hitters around him in the lineup. I mean, it's a really positive thing. I personally happen to think both Central divisions, you have a clear stand on. I think both the Cubs and the Tigers, I wouldn't mind laying the price to win those divisions. I think the Tigers will run away with the AL Central, and I think the Cubs, if I had to say by margin, I think marginally they will win this division by more than five games.
Do you offer, or have there been any wagers on how many games the White Sox could lose? I mean, they are challenging their own record, and by the way, Colorado's worse than them. How's that possible?
It's really funny you brought this up, because we offered before the season started who would have more wins, the Dodgers, who we closed their win total at 105, or the White Sox and Rockies combined. We closed the White Sox at 53.5, the Rockies at 59.5. So that's 113. So 113 compared to 105, it was -140 that the White Sox and Rockies would have more wins. If, as we speak today, pacing-wise, the Dodgers would win 103 games, the White Sox would win 33, and the Rockies would win 29. I want the guys to rehang the prop and make the Dodgers a $2 favorite and see what kind of action we're going to get. It's incomprehensible that these two teams could be this bad.
Boy. It's unbelievable.
Mike, have a great weekend. Enjoy the draft and enjoy the Cubs' quick start.
You too, guys. And I'm with you, Mully, on who the Bears are going to take in the first round. But I understand David's argument as well. I think that's a coin flip.
Great stuff, Mike. God bless you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Always a pleasure. That's Mike Palm. He's one of the great Catholics in America. And mercifully, we didn't ask him or have to ask him about any of the wagers on who will be the next pontiff. I don't know if you saw this or not, David, but apparently that is a forbidden bet, even in Vegas. There are no windows you can walk to.
It wouldn't cross my mind.
To wager on who will be the next pope.
It did once Newsweek laid odds.
Well, they laid odds.
Early.
Yes. That was shocking.
But the only window that Catholics want you to go to is the confessional.
Yes.
Not the betting window.
Especially if you're talking about wagering on who
so
would be.
So you can't bet on the pope, and you can't bet on WrestleMania.
No WrestleMania. Okay. That's already over. Dustin wanted
but that was in Vegas.
Odds on that.
That was in Vegas.
And why would you bet on WrestleMania?
David, I will bet on two drops of rain going down a pane of glass. Yeah, which one will win, the one on the right or the one on the left?
Okay.
That's from Guys and Dolls.
Aha! Very good.
Mm. Wow, this show's got such culture.
Yeah, we're all about the show tunes. We just don't usually blare them out.
But speaking of performers, we have one coming in our studio.
Yes, we have Clay Harbor is with us. We can sit down and we can get into some detailed draft conversations. Clay, of course, was at the Senior Bowl, has been monitoring all this stuff, and it will be fun to pick apart.
And he can tell us about his draft day experience when he went to the Eagles way back when.
That's great stuff. Oh, man, holy cow. All right, Clay Harbor next. Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.